Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner speaking to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. And this time together, we're going to be thinking about the biggest day. This happens to be a time of year when we just came through the Day of Atonement of Yom Kippur, the day celebrated by the Jews as the Day of Atonement, when very special things were done in the temple, still are done by Jews, but when the temple was in existence, this was a very, very special day. I'm going to be reading from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 26 through 32. The Lord said to Moses, "The tenth day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do not work on that day, because it is the Day of Atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Anyone who does not deny himself on that day must be cut off from his people. I will destroy from among his people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall not work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath of rest for you, and you must deny yourself. From the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening, you are to observe your Sabbath." That was from the New International Version of the Bible. I read that for broadcast on our internet site because many of you who are listening speak English differently in a slightly different dialect, whether you're from Australia or Canada or the United States or England or wherever else you are in Great Britain or in other parts of the world. So we try to bring it to you in a form where all the words are going to have the same meaning to everybody. So we do welcome you, those of you in all those countries that I mentioned, in Africa and in India and other countries of the world and the islands of the world. We do welcome you to this, and we hope that you get a blessing from it. The Day of Atonement to the Israelite, and now the Jew, was and is the biggest day of the year. There are some very exciting things about the Day of Atonement for the believer in Christ. So let you and I begin to look at seven blessings which are ours every day, which the Israelites could only bring about to enjoy on an annual basis. Perhaps it's in our nature. It's in our nature to value what is scarce or limited above what is plentiful. I think you will find that the daily blessings available to the believer, while plentiful, are, nonetheless, of great value as we believers, great value to us. Actually, to the amount of 360 plus times compared to those who follow the ancient Old Covenant ways of Moses. Because their Day of Atonement was one day a year. Every day is a day of salvation for us. So if it's a 365-day year or a 366-day year, we are experiencing 360-plus who are believers. That many times plus. The blessing of Abraham we read about in Genesis 12:2. God said, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now here God is telling him, he's blessing. My friends, let me tell you something. God wants to bless people. He wants to bless his creation. Now many people would say, that was to Abraham. But you see, Christ fulfilled also these things. If you look in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you see, there it is. Christ fulfilled that, so the promise made to Abraham is also a promise to us as well. Now, what would happen on this day? Well, the temple high priest, this was a, you might say, a really big day in his life. As a matter of fact, if you were one of the temple priests, you were elected high priest to serve for 1 year. Now, you might receive that honor with mixed feelings. Because if on the Day of Atonement you found yourself cleansed, you found yourself in your priestly garb, and you found yourself taking the blood of the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, and you were not really sanctified and ready for that, they had bells on your clothing and they had a rope tied around your ankle, because when you went into the presence of God, not prepared, he would drop dead. And they had that rope around him because nobody could go in to get him. They would have to drag him out under the curtain. So you might say, well, you know, can you imagine he would go home and say to his wife, "Dear, I am going to be the high priest for the next year." She might receive that as a mixed blessing as well. Because she might think, well, what we've got here is, I've got 365 more days with him, maybe. So, this was a very important thing. But, again, Christ fulfilled this. You know, many people do not understand this. When you go into the scriptures in Mark, and you find that, Mark chapter 16, I believe, is where you'll find this, where Jesus and Mary Magdalene encounter each other in the garden. And you remember that Jesus said to Mary, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended." Because you see, Jesus is our high priest. She could not touch him because he was prepared, just as the high priest would have been in the temple, to go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice. Well, in this case, he had not yet ascended into heaven, gone into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and sprinkled his blood, his sacrificial blood, on the mercy seat in heaven. That's why many people are sometimes confused. They think, well, what was the problem? He came back, went in, you know, later he shows up, and he's in a room with the 11, and he says to Thomas, who had doubted, "Touch me." Well, that's what happened between those two times. Jesus ascended, did his high priestly duties, and then he returned to be with his disciples. Hebrews 8, 7 through 8 says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, 'Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.'" Jesus brought about that new covenant. Now, what were the seven blessings that I talked about before that the people could look for over the next year, had their sacrifices been proper, had the high priest gone in and everything had gone well for them in that? These are the things that that they could look forward to. They could look forward to a double portion. In Joel 2:23, it says, "For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Now, one rain, there was a little bit, but the second rain was a double portion rain. The second blessing was financial promise. "The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil." This was a financial blessing. That's found in Joel 2:24. Then the third was restoration. "So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten." Joel 2:25. Then number four, special miracles. "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you." Joel 2:26. Then number five here is a divine presence. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Joel 2:27. Then the sixth blessing was the blessings of your sons and daughters. How many people today would like to know that their sons and daughters were to be blessed? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Joel 2:28. Number seven, deliverance to whoever calls on the name, on his name. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Joel 2:32. Now let's go back and just take a look at these seven blessings for just a moment. A double portion. When Jesus did what he did, we find salvation. Salvation, the word sozo, means saved, healed, and delivered. That means that all of the evil that Satan would put on us, all of the difficulties in the world, we have more than a double portion coming to us. A financial blessing, we know from the Word of God that all of God's promises are yes and amen. We do not have to worry because we know that God is our supply through Christ. Restoration. We know that we have been restored to the same relationship that mankind had in the garden. We read about in Genesis in chapter 1, and then in Genesis in chapter 9, we read about Noah and that same blessing being pronounced on Noah and his sons. Now, in a minute, we're going to talk about the sons and daughters again. But restoration. Things were restored. Peace was brought. The scripture says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Well, what he did when he brought peace, peace meaning if you search it out, it means nothing missing, nothing broken. That's restoration. Special miracles. Talks about special miracles. I would have to say that we have personally witnessed and we know many people and throughout history we have the record of miracles happening through the name of Jesus. So we know that we possess special miracles. A divine presence. We know that we have a divine presence because we know that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Not only is there a divine presence near us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Number six, the blessings for your sons and daughters. Well, there it is. You see, the scripture tells us that you and your whole household will be saved. That word household there not just refers to one house that you happen to live in, but you and your whole family down from you, your children, your grandchildren, and this sort of thing. That's what the blessings of your sons and daughter is. That's what it is when you and your whole household are saved. And then deliverance to whoever calls on his name. Well, in Acts 2:21, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Who's the Lord there they're talking about? They're talking about Jesus. Romans 10:12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him." All of God's blessings, again, are right there. Double portion, financial, restoration, special miracles, divine presence, blessing of your sons and daughters, and deliverance because you've called on the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13, the very next verse, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, Christ fills each promise as yes and amen. He fulfills them all. God's divine presence in the believer resides and delivering each and every day. He resides there with us and he delivers us each and every day. Because if we were to go back and have to keep all of these things, that's already been solved when, remember the story in the book of Acts where the apostle Paul took Peter to task because he was requiring that people be, that the Jews, or not the Jews, I'm sorry, the Greeks or whoever, be circumcised if they weren't Jews in order to become Christians. And so the battle about whether or not you had to step back under the law of bondage was settled there. And so that would involve these other areas as well. So just imagine what the biggest day was like back before Jesus did what he did, his death, burial, and resurrection. Before that huge curtain in the temple tore from top to bottom, letting everybody have access to the mercy seat, everybody have access to salvation, everybody could come and call on the name of the Lord, and they could see the mercy seat there. It was not just the high priest that saw it, but they could all see it. My friends, it's a marvelous story. It is a marvelous story. Get into your Bible. Read these stories. Compare what happened in the Old Testament and how Jesus fulfilled it in what we call the New Testament. Well, I hope you've gotten something from this. I've gone through it quickly. Now, you can take some time to go through it more slowly. You can go to the site, to our site, sojournershub.org, and go to our archives, and you can download this message. You can download the little bulletin sheet that goes with it so that you can review it. And if you have questions about it, simply email them to me, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. I'll be happy to get with you about it, to discuss it with you. We're there for you, to help you. That is our assignment from the Lord. So let me say this, if you've never accepted Christ, if you would like to have these kinds of blessings available to you every day, if you'd like Jesus to become, as the Scripture says, your Sabbath, then pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. I know that I haven't done things as I could have. I know I've missed the mark. I've fallen short. I'm not only sorry, but I turn around, and in turning around, I show that I am repenting of it. I come into your presence. I ask to receive all that Christ has for me, that Christ would become my Lord and Savior. Come into me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, you're in the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of the blessing. All the blessings I've been talking about are now available to you every day of your life. Jesus is your Sabbath. Rest in Him. Let the work in Him fill you and let you enjoy all the kingdom of the blessing. So let me say this blessing on you. And with this will bring to a conclusion this time together. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus, amen.